Years ago, an embalming practice took place, as I understand, in the Civil War days. Abraham Lincoln was embalmed, and then his body was paraded around in various locations. When people realized that this embalming is actually working, then that's how that started. Isn't that true?
That's correct. That's correct.
Because at first, didn't they keep them in their home, the bodies in
their... A lot of times, you know, there's your home to embalm bodies at home. Dad used to go out an awful lot. Embalm the body and bring the casket to home, put it in, and keep the body there all the time.
In the parlor, and so that's why there was a time where we used to call them funeral parlors.
That's right. You're right.
Now, there were embalming kits, and as we sit here...
That's the one right over there.
In your office.
Dad left it in somebody's house one time and brought it to me.
There are his initials there, WMM, on this embalming box. It looks like a small suitcase.
Tools are still in there.
The tools are still in there for embalming.
Mm.
Do you remember how old you were when you were in your first case of embalming, the first time you did it?
I'm not an embalmer.
You didn't do any of that?
I never really cared for it.
Did you, as a young boy, ever see that practice?
All the time.
So you were around it and you saw
it? I was around it all the time. I never did like it. And I had some brothers that didn't embalm, but I never did.
And so you saw your dad embalming?
Dad used to do it, and nowadays they're so careful about wearing gloves and so forth. Back in those days, he'd have blood all over him on his hands and everywhere else.
It's pretty sophisticated today compared to the way it was back then. I don't even know what embalming entails, but back then it was a pretty simple.
Well, they didn't have all the instruments they have now. But there was, back in those days, a lot of embalming at home.
Yeah.
Dad had this kit right here where he'd embalm right at the house and then go back later on and dress the body and put in the casket.
And, you know, we have to thank the Egyptians for embalming because they're famous for that.
They are.
And that's where the embalming started. Then that private viewing in the home just disappeared, and that's how then it came to funeral homes.
Mm-hmm.
And so you were more than people who just picked up bodies and took them to the hospital and embalmed. Then you became a destination for them.
That's correct. And we would have the whole family gather here at a certain time to view the remains. It became like a visitation or a viewing service that people did, you know, traditionally. Instead of at the home, it would be here at the funeral.
But when you see now somebody died in more of a funeral home or something, the funeral has, you just naturally go up there to see him, so you don't even think about going to the house.
So today we think of this as the way we always did it, but it had to evolve from the parlor because of embalming. Then I suppose funeral homes became rather creative then on how they were to treat the families when they came in. That was a whole learning process, wasn't
it? Yes, and there are throughout the country a whole lot of different traditions. But here, you know, I think it still is that the very close friends and relatives will go to the family's home. But then for visitation, viewing, and greeting other acquaintances, they will come to the funeral home.
You know, back in those days, too, you'd go to church. But now most of them are held in funeral homes, you know. They have chapels in funeral homes, and more of them are held.
In 2011, more of them are held in chapels that have been established
than
by funeral
homes
than in churches. Why is that?
It's easier to get to funeral homes. A lot of these churches have steps going up to them, trying to get up there with older people and so forth. And funeral homes are arranged for convenience for all people. So I think that has a lot to do with it.
It's kind of neutral ground, neutral territory.
And it's closer. Funeral homes are closer to where someone lives in their church. They have to drive a long way to their church.
Now, you established a funeral home by Memorial Park.
Right next door. Joe was very instrumental in working with the cemetery to allow us the road, but we don't have any ownership part of that cemetery.
No, but
it's separate.
But it's there, and it makes it convenient.
What you're going to see in the future, in years to come, you're going to see more cemeteries having funeral homes in them.
That's a competition thing as well, isn't it? I mean, there are only so many cemeteries.
That's right.
But there are more funeral homes and cemeteries. And
you will find your larger cemeteries with funeral homes. Most of them have now.
But also, you know, we're seeing the advent of cremation coming up, too, and that's
Let's talk about
change
that
it again
a little bit. And that became more accepted in the last century back.
I think the reason for that is this younger generation coming on. They don't put the emphasis on funerals like the older people did back years ago. They don't go through all the rigmarole that they did back then, having visitation and pallbearers and that sort of thing.
There's a cost factor here, too, isn't it? I mean, it's more expensive to have a regular funeral.
It is, and the cremation is cheaper.
And so is that kind of driving the issue, you think?
For younger people, it is, yeah.
And so that will be more and more the wave of the future.
For the future, it'll go that way.
aren't some funeral homes constructing their own cremation facilities? And you're putting in one now?
Yeah.
And where is that?
Right here.
If you want to see it, we can go see it.
Okay, right here in the, where we are here
at
27th and Harvard. Uh-huh. Some of them will contract with existing crematoriums.
Most cemeteries will have them. But we do it for the convenience of the people so they don't have to go to the cemeteries.